It's been a couple of weeks now since David Croft sadly passed away. I was on holiday at the time, and I only learned of the news when I received a text message from a friend. So it's been a little while now, and the news has begun to sink in. And rather than do any long official tributes, I thought Oliver and I would just do separate pieces that explain what David Croft meant to us. I met David on about four occasions, one of which I had the pleasure of interviewing him, and that was back at the Dad's Army Appreciation Society Members' Mill in 2008. And I found it such an honour sitting down with David in a pub and talking about his creation. But the most abiding memory for me was sitting at the same table as him and his wife at the same event and just talking about what Dad's Army meant to me. And I was very nervous because I was meeting someone who had given me hours and hours of entertainment and who had a very, very strong influence in the development of my sense of humour, particularly as a child. And I was incredibly nervous, as I think most people would understand. However, as I gradually got the confidence to tell David about circumstances at school where I'd used lines out of Dad's Army, he really warmed to the conversation. And despite what must have been hundreds of thousands of fans telling him in the past how much they liked his comedy and his writing, I got the sense that he really did appreciate getting that feedback, what was almost 35, 40 years after it had aired on television. And he began to smile, he began to ask me questions. He just seems fascinated. He then tucked into a roast dinner that he clearly enjoyed. And both him and Anne, his wife, talked to me about what it's like to be a parent. Because at the time, my wife was expecting a child who's now 3 years old. And they were telling me a whole load of stuff about feeling a certain way, which all I could do at the time was nod sagely and say, yeah, I'm sure I'll find out all about it. But in hindsight now, so much of what both David and Anne said was absolutely spot on. And I will always remember that conversation and the meal I had with David Croft. Now, we're going to come back later in the year with a much more comprehensive review of David's life and career. But for the time being, I'm going to hand you over to Oliver, who will talk to you a little bit about what David Croft meant to him.
Hello everyone, it's Oliver here. I'm so sorry for the poor quality of this recording. I'm unable to join Mr. Rockliffe, as we're both rather busy with our own work lives at the moment. But we couldn't not do a tribute episode to the late, great David Croft. It was actually James who first alerted me to David's passing. I was in the Curzon Mayfair doing a recce for a shoot, and I got a text from James, who was in Italy, who said, "I've had a very bizarre text from a friend. Has David Croft died?" But at which point I immediately rang the office and got a colleague to find out, and of course it was true. So it was a very sad moment when someone whose work you've admired and enjoyed, well, for I suppose days on end cumulatively. It was a very sad moment, but you know, David was 89, and you know, apparently died peacefully in his sleep. So that's, you know, that is a nice thing. I had seen David Croft earlier this year when filming Dad's Army and Beyond, Frank's documentary. He was looking pretty frail, but you know, fair play, he made the effort. He was still there. He was, you know, signing autographs and waving to the fans, and you know, you could tell he wasn't a particularly well man, but still made 100% effort for his fans and for the fans of Dad's Army and all the shows that he worked on. I must be honest, it was difficult to decide what to say, because obviously you know, death is a very unpleasant thing, and it's something that I try not to think about awfully much. But in this case, David Croft has such a legacy behind him and has, well, his work I have enjoyed, as I said earlier, for days on end, I suppose. All I can say really is that there are so many lines, so many catchphrases, so many funny moments in our life or in, you know, in his history when it comes to comedy, we're probably coined by that man. I mean, we know on a more personal level with Dad's Army, don't tell me Pike, don't panic, they don't like it up him, you know. Those are Perry and Croft lines. For hello, hello, with listen very carefully, I shall say this only once, and oh, Renee, and all this kind of stuff, you know, there are lines that we just associate with these great comedies, but the one thing linking them all together is this great man, whether it's Hardy High or Yerang Malord, you know, I think he worked on shows that even the titles themselves were fitted into, with the exception of Dad's Army, I suppose. I don't know if anyone ever referred to them as Dad's Army in Dad's Army, but certainly Allo Allo, Heidi High, Yerang Malord, these were all, you know, catchphrases in the script. So instantly recognizable comedy. And David Croft clearly had a very good idea of what made people laugh, and an absolute master. I think I'll sort of bring my little tribute to a finale and read you a nice section from this week at the time of recordings, Radio Times. It's a lovely, lovely article called You Have Been Watching. It says, David Croft, the genius who helped bring us Dad's Army and Are You Being Served, is remembered by two of his writing partners. So now I shall read you quite candid thoughts and memories from Jimmy Perry and Jeremy Lloyd. You Have Been Watching. David Croft, the genius who helped bring us Dad's Army and Are You Being Served, is remembered by two of his writing partners. Jimmy Perry. I last saw David about a fortnight ago. He was frail, but we had a good talk. We were much more colleagues and associates than friends. We didn't used to socialize much together. We just got on with our work. And we never had a row in the 40-odd years we worked together. I was an actor for many years, and I had a part in a BBC television show called Hugh and I, with Terry Scott and Hugh Lloyd, which David produced. I've been in the Home Guard as a 16-year-old, and I proposed the idea of Dad's Army to David. He saw the potential immediately, and the BBC were very receptive. We weren't just for writers, we did the casting, and we were there every minute of every recording. If we had a difference in opinion, it was quickly settled because we were on the same wavelength. David had a lot of experience of producing TV comedy, and he knew how to open doors at the BBC. I was young, and although he wasn't all that old, he was very good at presenting ideas. He'd say, "We have a great plan for a show here," and people listened. We were both well-versed in theatre and comedy, and knew many, many actors. John Laurie was one of the show's great triumphs. We cast the show jointly. I fought for Arthur Lowe, David cast Arnold Ridley, Ian Lavender, and others. John LeMessurier was a great triumph. I mean, John LeMessurier played every part the same, but he worked marvellously as Sergeant Wilson against Arthur Lowe's Captain Mannering, because they were cast against the audience's expectations. We went on to do It Ain't Our Fault, Mum, after Dad's Army. Dave and I both felt people didn't know enough about British history. We'd both been in India during the war, I'd been there with the Royal Artillery at a concert party, and we shared an idea that you could tell something about the British in India through comedy. We also did Heidi High and Yerang Malord, and David went on to work with Jeremy Lloyd on Are You Being Served and Allo Allo. We always made sure we were very civil to each other. You have a success, you make a lot of money, and we both took care to be on good terms with one another. We had a real hot number together. There was no question of waiting for inspiration to strike us when we were writing. You don't dry up, you concentrate on what you're doing and make sure you produce the best possible scripts you can. We'd develop our script ideas together, face to face. The way I say it is, we'd workshop the scripts together, as I'd learnt to do with Joan Littlewood. I could go on forever about what a gentleman David was, but that's how we worked together. Jeremy Lloyd. David was 89 and died in his sleep, which is something I think we'd all like. We first started working together in 1971. We had such a marvellous time. It was constant laughter. We first met when I was in a sitcom with my ex-wife Joanna Lumley called It's Awfully Bad for Your Eyes, Darling, written by Gilly Cooper. We got chatting about comedy when David was called in to do some writing for the show. Before I started writing and acting, I had worked in the outfit of Simpsons in Piccadilly for 3 years. I knew all about that business. I arranged to meet David for lunch and told him about the idea that became Are You Being Served? Another company was interested too. Tell them to get lost. Let's do it together, David said. We had a very enjoyable lunch, and I said, if lunch is this funny, let's start right away. We laughed at as much of each other's jokes as we were thinking of them as the audience did when they finally arrived on TV. You find you have to become the character. So if one of us came up with a line for Captain Peacock, we'd speak it in his voice while the other one noted it down. At times it felt like I was producing a stream of comedy and he picked out the bits he liked. But David was a very good comedy writer. He really knew how to construct a sitcom. He was also a very good producer with a gift for casting. We'd never written with any particular actor in mind. The way David cast Are You Being Served was marvellous. Rather like Dad's Army, the pecking order always comes into the comedy because that was very much extant at the time. It was absolute family viewing, although it did have traditional Donald McGill postcard-style humour. The amazing thing is that Are You Being Served is still being shown in the US on 180 PBS stations. When we decided to try writing something else, we started on an upstairs-downstairs thing. After 3 days writing, I wasn't enjoying it at all. I phoned him up at midnight and said, let's try a French Resistance thing instead. I'd woken him, but he still said, fine, we'll start first thing in the morning. Which we did, and we kept writing Hello Hello for 10 years. I didn't see David very much, but we talked on the phone. I feel sympathy for his children, whom I've known since they were very small. I'll remember him as a great entertainer. And those interviews were conducted by Jeff Ellis of the Radio Times. And there's a lovely picture of Jimmy Perry and David Croft and some Radio Times covers featuring Dad's Army, It Ain't Half Hot Mum, and Hello Hello. Jimmy Perry's comments that they were more associates than friends, I suppose we assume that because of this wonderful partnership that they were wonderful friends in real life. I did see them together at a tribute to them both by the Heritage Foundation, which was covered in an earlier podcast, I think about episode 40 around then. People like Paul Shane and Sue Pollard paid lovely tribute and thank yous to them both for their using them so much in their careers. Perry and Croft went up to collect some champagne, and David Croft said a very, very quick thank you, and Jimmy Perry said, is that all you're going to say? Come on, talk more. And I suppose even then David Croft was quite frail, but I suppose these guys have known each other for such a long time and have done so much brilliance between them. There was almost this resistance to age, particularly from Jimmy Perry's point of view. And Jimmy Perry is still the showman when he goes along to his shows. When Jimmy's in his late 80s. But still, they really made the effort. And that's the one time I've actually seen them both together. But I'm sure there was a friendship there. The Radio Times also promoted, for those of you who are overseas and didn't get to see this, at 20 past 7 on BBC Two, Saturday 8th of October, there was a 10-minute tribute to David Croft, which was then followed by an episode of Hello Hello called Pigeon Post, an episode of Are You Being Served called Mrs. Slocum Expects, and an episode of Dad's Army, The Face on the Poster. So it was over an hour and a half of David Croft related programs ran by the BBC, which I think in this day and age says an awful lot of their respect for this particular man and his achievements in the sitcom establishment. of the BBC. Definitely one of their greatest producer, directors and writers. I'm obviously a fan, and I know many of you are too. So, very, very sad, but at least he's up there now, having a G&T with Arthur Lowe and John Lemez and our other Dad's Army heroes. So that's all from me. It's I'm sorry, it's a bit of a sad time for Dad's Army fans, but I think we'll all sit together, and next time we see his name on this those end credits, we'll give him a little salute of our own. R.I.P. David Croft, and thank you for the many, many laughs.
Well, thank you, Oliver, and I hope you listeners out there found what Oliver and I had to say about what David Croft meant to us interesting. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a regular episode of the Dad's Army podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and bye for now.